but he'll do it.
Ooh, I can't. He'll do it again.
Amen. Well, bless your hearts. Franco says we have 100 homes hooked up here from coast to coast and perhaps overseas. And I'm here in Indianapolis with my dear wife, Elizabeth, and brother, Jim Murray. So we have a live audience here. Thank you for taking your time to be with us tonight. Take our Bibles. You can turn to Romans chapter 12. It'll be a minute before we get there. This teaching, I think, is pretty simple. I hope it'll be meaningful to you. It's titled, The Fab Five, Your Keys to Spiritual Growth. I know that those of you who, of course, you got to be a little older, but, and then a true American, and you think back to 1991 and the Michigan men's basketball team, with five freshmen starting, and they forever earned that title, the Fab Five. But that's not where we're going, as many of you may have hoped. In One Day with the Creator, which, by the way, the DVDs are still on sale at half price, but of course you can get free links online on our website or email me. I'll send you the links to all three of our videos. It would be great for you to play them for as many people as you possibly can. No. Show me the class to people like Once Upon a Time and build a local fellowship and expand it. And, you know, it's not out of the realm of possibility. But segment 22, parts 1 to 3 is titled Spiritual Growth, the Five Basics. And according to God's Word, these five basic habits each believer should build into his life are prayer, reading / studying the word, fellowship with other brethren, sharing your faith with those who need to hear it. Why does God want us praying, reading the word, fellowshipping, witnessing, or sharing your faith, and giving? Certainly not to incur his favor, because we already know that we are righteous in his sight. His love is beyond anything we can fathom, and so forth. But God and Jesus want us. Somebody is unmuted still and kind of talking over me. I'm sorry to say that, but anyway, I'm going to keep going. Because these habits help us to know God and his Son. And that is the bottom line of life. The more we know God, you've heard, that's another old, that's way back in the 50s, to know him is to love him. That would have been the Teddy Bears, a marvelous group. Because some people, you get to know them, you can't stand them. But that's not the case with God. The more we know him and Christ, the more we love them. The more we love them, the more we selflessly serve them. And the more we serve them, the more fulfilled we are in our lives. So, again, pretty simple stuff tonight, but I hope you'll like it. Obviously, the days of our lives are fraught with time-consuming challenges. And some days are much easier than others for us to carve out the necessary time for these five activities. And some days there may not be time for some of them, but, you know, each of us has to determine that. The key, and that's where we're going here, is to have a ready mind. It's all about attitude. And then, based on that, God will work to help us. So, no matter what is going on in a particular day, however, faithfulness to these habits requires focused mental effort and often some innovative time management. And I noticed, it was many years ago actually, that I noticed this particular Greek word, and it's only used, I don't think it's used, I think it's 9 or 8 or 7 times total in the epistles, but it ties together these 5 essential habits. And the word is prothumos. Thumos means passion, pro, a prefix, prothumia, a noun, the other one's an adjective. And if you look it up, it means forwardness of mind, readiness of mind, willing mind, predisposition, inclination, alacrity of mind. So the word that comes to my mind is psyched, or maybe pumped. So achieving this type of attitude requires effort, so that in the face of everything from a crushed button on your shirt sleeve by the monkey with the mallet at the dry cleaner, to some kind of horrible tragedy, my first thought is, I believe God. I can't wait to see how my Heavenly Father will work for me in this situation. That doesn't always come naturally. So I thought we'd read Romans 12, 1 and 2. Some of you may have that tattooed on you somewhere, some of the $50 verses. And in the NIV, it reads, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy," therefore is based on chapters 1 through 8. You know, we do have the audio seminar of, it's 18 hours. You got to put up with me for 18 hours, but it's on the website. It's free. It's an audio teaching that I did 26 years ago, and it's actually pretty darn good. So if you haven't heard that and you got some winter nights, you want to stay home and stay warm, you could punch that up and see what you think. So the therefore is based on chapters 1 through 8, what God has done in Christ. Therefore, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. That's about attitude. Holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this age, not world, age. Satan is a god of this age, verses like that. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, putting something better into your mind. And of course, we're talking about the word. So be transformed to trust. That's what came to me as I read this today. And then it closes, verse 2, then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So we are in an never-ending battle for truth, justice, and the Christian way, to put on the mind of Christ and repel the debilitating thoughts that the world would have us think. So I don't know if you ever looked it up, but the word attitude is an aeronautical term in one of its definitions, and it means the inclination of the three principal axes of an aircraft relative to the wing and to the ground. Unquote. So no matter what the circumstances that the pilot is dealing with, the pilot decides at what angle the wing will work in conjunction with them. If you've stuck your hand out, your arm out the window of your car at 70 miles an hour on the highway with your palm flat, it'll cut through the air. It's actually pretty amazing. because it shows you how a plane can fly, because the thing weighs 86 tons or something. How do it know how? So if you just adjust your hand up a little bit, whoa, your whole arm flies up in the air. Then you adjust the angle of your hand, wah, back down and on the side of your car. So I want my attitude to be one of an expectant heart and mind, one that takes me up and not down. So we're going to go to 2 Corinthians 10, three verses. 2 Corinthians 10, 3, 4, 5, and then we'll get into these five habits as they are tied together by this particular Greek word. 4 weeks from tonight, I guess. February is a short month, so we'll be up for the next WWF, March 7. I don't know what I'm going to be doing. If you didn't read the Fruit of Divine that came out a week ago, I would encourage you to do so, because I was blown away by the feedback. I mean, the thing is, it's crazy what's set forth in there. I'm nowhere near achieving what that was all about. And it's called Are You Dead Yet? And it's posted online on the website. If you didn't get that email on February 1, but you could be looking on the first of every month, and then we send a mid-month blast, usually sometime 15, 16, middle of the month. So you're there, 2 Corinthians 10, 3, 4, 5. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. Doesn't say we don't wage war. Because we do. We don't wage it as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. And then the word demolish comes back right in the next verse. We demolish arguments, is reasonings, logismos, false reasonings. Those are what strongholds in us are built upon. A bunch of erroneous reasoning or thoughts that weave themselves together into a stronghold that I'm no good, I've never accomplished anything, I have no ministry like anybody else, blah, blah, blah. So we want to demolish. That's a good word. That's pretty vivid, right? We want to demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Now, I don't, but I'm trying. We take captive every thought. That means they're not going to necessarily come, oh, okay, here, take me captive. Not necessarily. So we have to put some effort into it. So you can go to Matthew 26. We'll be there in a minute. So our goal when it comes to these five simple habits, our goal is to joyfully and eagerly, I'm not here, I'm not there every day, I'll tell you that for sure. Our goal is to joyfully and eagerly revel in doing each of these five activities, as opposed to not doing them or feeling a burdensome obligation and doing them rotely or even grudgingly. The goal would be, I can't wait to pray. I can't wait to open the Bible. I can't wait to talk to somebody about Jesus. I can't wait to hang out with believers. I can't wait to give to someone who needs. Now, of course, Joyce Meyer has a teaching called Do It Afraid. The point she makes is it's better to do something afraid than not to do it. So I guess in this case, it'd be better to do something grudgingly or without your whole heart in it than not to do it at all. But any case, so we got five sections of scripture, and that's basically it. We're going to read the first one is prayer, regarding prayer. Now, so again, what is prayer? Communing with the Creator. The Creator. Now, I doubt I'm the Lone Ranger, but lots of times I'll sit there and pray, and especially lately, believe me, I have like curled up in my bed and just poured my heart out to God and to Christ and said, come on. I have no idea why I'm not totally healed, but you do. I'm not going to beat myself up about it, but I don't feel good. And you can touch me in 1 second. Meanwhile, I'll do what the doctor says. We're waiting on a bunch of tests. We changed doctors, went to the new guy last week several times, did all these tests of all kinds. So we're waiting on those. And I know you're praying for me, and I thank you. I'm so grateful for all the people who pray for me, and of course for Franco also. And there's millions of people that need prayer, obviously. So if we kind of take a step back and think about what it means that we can commune with the Creator, that might help us get psyched up. So Matthew 26, 36, then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, you guys sit here, I'm going over there and pray. He took Peter, James, and John along with him. He began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. And he was serious. Yet not as I will, but as you will. Then he returned to his disciples, found them sleeping. He said, couldn't you guys keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter. 41, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is prothumos, but the flesh is weak. Now, there are hundreds of good verses about prayer, but this is one that has our key word, prothumos. We have good intentions, so forth. And of course, the Spirit of God, now that we have the new birth, is more than willing. But sometimes our flesh is weak, so we have to override that by putting on the mind of Christ and overcoming any lethargy. So Acts 17, verse 10, the next one is studying the word or reading the word. At some point, you probably got to study it. Now, that whole, you know, the truth about 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved. That study is spoudazo, means do your best. It's not like you got to be a scholar. But if you come from back in the day, you saw drug-crazed hippies become biblical scholars. You saw people, you may have been one of those drug-crazed hippies. I was just a friendly jock. But you saw them get a lexicon and a concordance. People who, now of course, I never studied anything in my life until I opened the Bible. And so we can become students to some degree, which we need to. So wait, what is it? When we open this book, can be on your phone now, can be on your phone, whatever, not quite as dramatic as opening the hallowed pages. But what's happening? God, the Creator, is speaking to you. That might boost your self-esteem if you're thinking you're an idiot. I mean, I know I'm an idiot, but it's like if you were walking down the street and you heard, "Hey, John." Ooh, it's God speaking to me from heaven. Well, this is the same thing. By the way, you're probably aware that some people, Elizabeth loves this joke. You're probably aware that some people think the world revolves around them. It's like this guy I knew, name was Steve, got some great seats to the baseball game, right down the front row behind the dugout, stopped by the concession stand, got all of his drinks, hot dogs, popcorn, everything, gets settled into his seat. From up above him in the stands, he hears, "Hey, Steve!" Puts all of his stuff down, stands up, turns around, scans the seats, he can't see anybody, sits back down, starts to get into his stuff again. "Hey, Steve!" Stands up again, turns around, looks a little longer this time at the crowd, sits down, and just as he's about to take a bite of his hot dog, it happened again. "Hey, Steve!" He finally stood up, turned around, and said, "Look, my name's not Steve!" Okay. So, that should have given you time. You like that one, honey.
That's crazy.
That's so stupid. All right, Acts 17:10. As soon as it was night, the believers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. On arriving there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. Now, the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word, they received the message with, this NIV says, great eagerness of mind. King James is readiness of mind. And then what did they do with that attitude? They examined the scriptures every day. There can be days when, yeah, we may not have time to open the book, but usually you can find 5 minutes or daily devotional or something, a verse to ponder during the day to see if what Paul said was true. Verse 12 is very cool. As a result, in other words, because they did that, many of them believed, as did also a number of prominent Greek women and a lot of Greek men. So, there it is, studying the word, to some degree, pouring over it. Now, of course, we've done our best with these three videos and hundreds of other teachings to make it easier for you and others to study the word and give you a leg up and you know, open up some things, but still, it's a treasure trove of truth for you to dig into. Romans 1:1. We're going to read the first 15 verses. Prothumos is not coming up till verse 15, but I just felt inspired to read all of these because they're very cool. Romans 1, okay, this is about sharing your faith. Now, I'm assuming that once upon a time, someone shared his or her faith with you. In other words, some people call it witnessing, sharing your faith. I kind of like that. If somebody came up to you or found you on a bus or something and said, "Yo, dog, you need to hear this." So it'd be a good idea for us to do it. And one of the things, it's so instructive. If you really get out there and you're really teaching the word, and of course this can be, doesn't mean this is, you know, walking up to someone on a bus stop, a cold call. It could be finding someone and bringing them to your home and teaching them, looking for people, dropping crumbs for people and see who picks them up. So verse 1, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son. This is a fabulous couple of verses right here. So this is the gospel, and the secret wasn't promised ahead of time, but basically what he's saying here, regarding his son, who as to his earthly life was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in power, watch this, by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. You know what it's saying? It's saying the same thing Acts 17:31 says when Paul concluded his spiel on Mars Hill, and he said, wherefore God has given assurance unto all men in that he has raised Jesus from the dead. That's exactly what this says here. Those are the two places you can cite for people. The resurrection is what proved that Jesus is who he said he was and still is. Verse 5, through him we received grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. That's a cool phrase. And you also are among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. We belong because he paid the price. Now look at this. To all in Detroit. Well, Detroit would be bad, but not as bad as Rome. This is a big deal that he's writing to people in Rome. Rome was the headquarters of evil in many ways during the time. And so there was this Christian contingent there, and no doubt they had some challenges. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his holy people, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. Yikes. Verse 9, God, whom I serve in my spirit in preaching the gospel of his son. There you go. This is the third of the five. Is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now at last by God's will, the way may be opened for me to come to you. I long to see you, so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, you don't know how badly these verses resonate or how vitally they resonate in my heart right now. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I'm not used to staying in my house all the time, for the most part. So he said, I long to see you, so that I can impart to you, not like I'm the big know-it-all and all that, but he had a ministry and it was real and God worked in him. and the word is what gets the credit. That is that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. That's how it works. I don't want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters. Watch this. God is in control. I don't think so. I plan many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now. I don't know what, you know, if you're listening to any Christian teachers or whatever, but the idea that God is in control is indescribably rampant. And it is a lie from hell. Just, oh my gosh, look at it right here. I've been prevented from doing so until now. We're not waltzing through life. We're having to chop our way along many times in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I've had among the other Gentiles. Here we go, two more verses. I'm obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I am so prothumos, to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Two more to go here. And so, wow, this is a short teaching. Yeah, we're going to get out early. Great. My eighth grade shop class was the last two periods of the day at a school near the other school where, it's a long story, I went to. They started I was in this special class. You're thinking remedial, but no. They picked me, one of 30 kids in Indianapolis. In 1954, whatever it was, maybe a little earlier than that. And we went grades 5, 6, 7, and 8 together. And what the final year was at the high school. And so they had a public school down the street a block. So someone, I'm sure it wasn't I, but someone got the bright idea. Let's turn the clock ahead 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes a day. So Mr. Simon, the shop teacher, that's where I made a birdhouse that proved that I do come from a great spiritual lineage, because my grandfather took one look at it and said, no bird will ever live in this. And he proved to be a prophet of the utmost quality. They just kind of looked at it curiously and kept flying by. And so Mr. Simon would turn his back or become engrossed in something or leave the room, and we'd boost somebody up on the table in the back. And if I recall, we got up to like 35 minutes. And so of course, there's the clock. It's 2:30. It's time to go. But there's no bell. Well, must be broken. Well, you know, we're happy to give that explanation. And he finally found out. I mean, we were getting out. And then he was not very happy. So, 2 Corinthians 8, a few verses here. That was not my idea. Financial material giving. And those of you who support this ministry, thank you, thank you, thank you. I don't care if it's $10 a week or whatever. So we'll read 7 and 8, and then 11 and 12 has a prothumos, 19 has one, chapter 9, verse 2. So, but 7 and 8 are just too good to pass up. They're ridiculous. Look at them. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. You know, they always say, put your money where your mouth is. And it's really true. Look at the next verse. I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. And testing the sincerity of your love doesn't mean you have to give to every beggar on the corner at every interstate exchange and all that. It does mean that you become what chapter 9 talks about, a hilarious giver. And so 11 and 12, here we go. Now finish the work so that your prothumos, readiness, or here eager willingness to do it, may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. For if the prothumos, the willing mind, is there, and I know that's the case with many people who support TLTF for maybe, you know, 50 a month, 100 a month, whatever, you know, that's they. I know people who have said, I wish I could give you a $1 million check. And I say, so do I. But so that's, I think, what this is talking about here. The gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. Verse 19, talking about the guy that they appointed to go with the money. What is more, this guy was chosen by the churches to accompany us as we carry the offering, which we administer in order to honor the Lord himself and to show our prothumos to help. Chapter 9, verses 1 and 2 is the end here. There's no need for me to write to you about this service to the Lord's people, for I know your prothumos, your ready mind to help. And I've been boasting about it to the Macedonians, telling them that since last year, you and Achaia were ready to give, and your enthusiasm has stirred most of them to action. Now, that's a kind of a cool ending to that verse. Your enthusiasm to give has stirred most of them to action. And we're going to 1 Peter 5, and then only one more stop, but this is the final one of the five habits, and then we'll close with a section that has all five in it that you know very well. So we want to be enthusiastic about giving, because when we are, guess what happens? God proves himself. I wrote in the December Fruit of Divine, and by the way, thank you if you were one who responded to that, because it was pretty amazing response. But I talked about my own life. I've always tried to err on the side of giving more. I'm no doubt I've given to people I shouldn't have given to. I'm sure that's the case. But I would rather err on the side of giving than not giving. And because then God proves himself and he multiplies it back to you. And I've told a few stories of how, you know, six Krugerrands arrived in the package one day with the center of a book cut out of it like for a derringer. And there were six Krugerrands from an anonymous person just when I needed that exact amount. It's insane because God is faithful. Now, 1 Peter 5, 1 to 5. The final one is fellowship with the brethren. Now, a lot of the brethren are knuckleheads, at least from time to time. So this takes some effort. But what we're after, like Colossians 2 talks about, hearts knit together. I mean, like real friendship. When you get a friend like that in the Word, you don't want to take it lightly. You don't want to discard him or her from your life until you have exhausted every possibility not to. Now, of course, a lot of people turn away, they turn their backs, they become different people. They're not who you thought they were. And here we are, you know, like here's 100 and some homes hooked up tonight. They're scattered all over the country. So I would guess that most of you don't have any regular heart-to-heart, face-to-face fellowship. And of course, you could start one, but that's what we're after, is true friendship. Now, of course, that takes some time to get to know people, and doing things together is one way to get to know people. You build a house with a bunch of people, you'll really get to know them. Now, at least you could have a prayer partner. That's one thing that came to my mind here. Somebody that you could pray with daily or three times a week or once a week, just somebody that you can be on the same page biblically, spiritually, and so forth. Christianity is a team sport. You just can't do it by yourself. Because first of all, you're missing out. You're missing out on apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers speaking into your life. You're missing out on the incredible qualities that God has endued his people with. And they're missing out on what you have to offer them. So, hey, figure it out with Jesus. We're doing our best with what we have at the moment. So, 1 Peter 5:1, here we go. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Suffering and glory, suffering and glory, suffering never mentioned without the glory. Be, now this is written to leaders, but still applicable. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care. You could say, be a good friend to another believer, if that's where you're at. Watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, that's not the word, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain. I'm afraid that when we get to the judgment seat of Christ, there are going to be a few Christian leaders who might be somewhat reprimanded for pursuing dishonest gain. That's between them and Jesus. Just what it looks like to me from a distance. Here we go, Prothumos. But eager to serve, or with a ready mind. And this takes, if you really want to lead people, it does take a ready mind, because they're not always very leadable. And it's hard sometimes, and you don't always do it perfectly, but not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd, we're like the under shepherds, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. Not if they're raving lunatics, but you have the scriptures as the standard, and so you do your best to see their hearts. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. We'll close Acts 2, the last six verses, 42 to 47, where we find all five of these habits. And we see that this is how the early church functioned and why, in large part, they turned the world upside down in those critical years. So God's still God. Jesus is still Jesus. The devil is still the devil. People are still people. We can do this stuff. It's available. And so I hope you're praying for doors of utterance for TLTF. Of course, that's you in some ways, but some way, somehow, we can get in front of people. I got the nicest note from somebody who'd never come from our background, and some friends of mine were, they're taking her through One Day of the Creator, and she just spoke in tongues the other night for the first time and just ripped it. All you got to do is follow what is taught. And she was so excited and wrote me such a nice note. So Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They were in the word, and to koinonia, fellowship. Now here's one that they stuck in here. To the breaking of bread. Now, that's not in the top five, but Christian casseroles are indispensable. Now, maybe you don't see anybody anymore that makes you any more casseroles, but we used to have lots of food with the brethren and eating together. Personally, I always, the years that I was on the road, and I fully intend to be back on the road. So hold that casserole. Going out to eat with a bunch of saints after the meeting. Of course, half the time it was 11 p.m. or something, but it's a sweet thing. And to prayer, there's three of them in verse 42. And look what happened. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Number four, they shared of their material stuff. Verse 46, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And of course, they were shooting their mouths off constantly about the word and the Lord, that's Jesus, the head of the body, added to their number daily, daily, because they were speaking the word daily. He added to their number daily those who were being saved. So, a review of sorts, and hope it was meaningful to you. Again, each person has his own life, his own schedule, his own relationship with the Lord. And God looks on our hearts, and he knows we're living in a maelstrom of maliciousness in this world. And I just lost two friends this week, one of them pretty darn close to him through the years, and a TLTF supporter. And so Jesus is coming back for us. Okay, don't ever forget that. And tomorrow's a new day, another adventure with God. You never know who he's going to try to run you into, figuratively speaking, as opposed to traffic. So I'm getting another transfusion tomorrow and waiting on the results of lots of all kinds of tests. And but, you know, Jesus is on it. It's all I can say is what the word says. By his stripes, I was healed. Haven't manifested it yet, but I intend to, because I got places to go and people to see. And your prayers, I can't tell you what they mean to me. God will reward you for them one day at the appearing of Christ. So, Let us know what we can do for you. If you don't have the links to our videos, just email me or Franco or John or one of the elders, whomever. And thank you for your support and your prayers and your love. And Elizabeth and I are kind of just hunkered down here pretty much for this month. Spring is around the corner. Obviously, you know that because the Big East tournament starts 4 weeks from tonight. So there you go. So let me close with prayer. And I sure love you. And Elizabeth sends her love. And we're going to keep moving forward. I can't say I feel great, but I'm not in pain. And many people are. And my heart goes out to them. Anyone who's in chronic pain. So, Father, we love you. We bless your holy name. We are so thankful that we got to hear the truth. I mean, it's ridiculous. 99% of people wandering around, a lot of the Christians just about as confused as the non-Christians because of the junk that they're being taught. And so we know you would like to see people hear the truth about you. They don't want to hear that you cause bad stuff, and you don't want them to hear that. Well, okay, we can tell them the truth about that. So I thank you for healing me, healing Franco, healing every person on this call tonight. We join our faith together right now. 100 homes, however many people that is, we focus like the sun through a magnifying glass, and we see that fire ignited, your healing touch upon our bodies. You can heal to the uttermost, and you do heal to the uttermost, and moving a few molecules is nothing for you. And so we praise you, we lift you up. We thank you for increasing our faith so that we can be whole, so that we can serve you. We don't want to just lounge around. We want to get out there and preach the truth. So bless each of these dear people and their loved ones, their jobs, their employment, every aspect of their lives. And I lift up Sandy Byack and her family at the tragic loss of husband Bill, who died of a heart attack Monday while shoveling snow. And I pray for Eric Altvader at the loss of his wife Marion, and just comfort them, Lord Jesus, with your hope, which is our hope, that we're going to see you face to face. And in the meantime, we just want to kick the devil's butt and glorify you. Amen. Thank you, Franco. God bless you guys. Love you.
This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. From heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. I fixed it up with Jesus 40 years ago. I know he'll take me through, though I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Oh Lord, you know. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Just up in glory land.
saints on every hand are shouting victory. Their song of sweetest praise drift back from heaven's shore, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Oh Lord, oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels begging me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Oh Lord, you know
I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world.